Blog Talk Radio.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright sunshiny day. Gonna be bright sunshiny day. I think I can make it now, the pain is gone. All of the bad feelings have disappeared. Here is that rainbow I've been praying for. Gonna be
good evening, everyone. This is Bonnie Kay, and welcome to my new season of Straight Wives Talk Show. This is the hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of women married to men who identify either as gay, bisexual, transgender, or even asexual to help them on the road from discovery to recovery. If you have any questions for my guests, please email me at bonkay@aol.com. That's B-O-N-K-A-Y-E at AOL.com. Good evening, everybody, and Happy New Year. I hope your year is going well so far. I'm really excited that I'm doing the shows again because I have some wonderful women who are part of my support network who are chipping in and willing to tell their story so that you can make a connection. Any questions or doubts you may have, you'll always find that you're never alone while you're going through this, traveling through, I don't even know how to put what the travel is called, the road of hell. I guess that's the best way to describe it. But I'm very glad that I can bring you some wonderful guests who can help you make these connections. And if you have any questions for me, you can always write to me throughout the week and we'll address them. Tonight, I would like to introduce to you Susan. And Susan, I'd like to say, is just not a guest. But Susan is a dear friend of mine. We've known each other now for a number of years through our Straight Wives support network.
Yeah.
And Susan's right on the West Coast. I'm on the East Coast, but our minds and our hearts are always together. And I've been lucky enough, lucky enough to meet Susan at least three or four times in person in our, you know, healing weekends. And she's always such a credit, and her words of wisdom are always so strong. So, Susan, welcome to the show tonight. Thank you so much for being my guest.
Oh, well, you're welcome. And let me tell you, it's my honor to have met you, and not just my honor and my pleasure, but, you know, I've said this before, a savior for me and for so many women, because until women maybe go online and find out about you that way or through a mutual friend or something like that, they don't know you're out there. And as soon as they discover, they realize that they're not alone, because you just feel so isolated and alone in this journey. And, you know, and when I discovered you online and I ordered your books and I started reading, I was literally blown away that so many women had just lived this life that I had led, this confusing emotional and mental, and I mean, it was just so confusing for me, and I thought I was going a little crazy until I read all these other stories in your books. I was just blown away. I just said, this, I could have written this. This is me. And it was a relief on the one hand. I'm not going crazy. It's not me. Because, of course, these men gaslight us. Mine was the king of all time. And you really start to believe it after a while. You just absolutely believe it because you don't know what else is going on, right? Until you do discover lots of things. And some of these men just flat out come out. Mine never came out. And so mine was really, well, they're all tough. They're all tough, but mine never came out. To this day, has never come out.
So let me, can you tell me a little bit about, or let our listeners know a little bit about your story, how you met, how the marriage was, where things started going bad?
Sure, sure. Well, just brief background, long story short, he was not my first husband. My first husband, he was my childhood sweetheart. We dated in high school, got married while we were still in college, had two children in quick succession after college. And unfortunately, for a lot of different reasons, that marriage just unfurled about 5 years into the marriage. And it was an 11-year time span between the year of that divorce and then the year that I married my gay husband, my gay ex-husband. And during that 11-year period of time, I dated quite a bit. I dated quite a bit, which is a little bit different than a lot of women who find themselves in a mixed marriage situation, because they're not really sure if this was the only man that they ever slept with or ever dated. They're not really sure what men are supposed to be like. They hear things, but they think, well, maybe that's just a fairy tale kind of thing. Well, I knew better. I had experienced a lot of sex and passion with men, but along with that comes a tremendous amount of heartbreak. And so I had gone to a therapist when I had an especially bad breakup. And he told me that the man who would be right for me might not be the most passionate man. He's not going to be the best kisser. I might even find him kind of boring. But, you know, look at the way he lives his life and look at his other qualities. And that's the man that I should be with. So fast forward, and I meet my former husband. His name is Matt, and I met him out of town, and he was there with a group of men, and he was about 3 hours away from my city, but we both happened to be from the same city. So it was just kind of irony. And of course, at the time I thought, oh my goodness, this romantic story, we were meant to meet. You know, I kind of laugh at that now. I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what a crazy notion. And we met, and literally from the moment that we met, we were together. I mean, we kind of had this instant connection, and he asked for my phone number, and he asked, well, when do you think you're going to be home? And I wasn't even, it was a little place on the coast of California called Santa Cruz. For those of you, I'm not from Santa Cruz, I'm from Central California, but that's where we met. And I wasn't even out of Santa Cruz the following day when he was already calling me, asked me if he could come over and see me that night. And he kissed me that night, and I just thought I had it made. I thought it had it made. And he's a nice guy, didn't set the world on fire, not a man that would turn heads. And I'm not being critical of that. I'm just saying that that's who he was. You know, he was an educated guy. He seemed to be hardworking, had a lot of qualities. And I thought, well, I'd found my guy. But there seemed to be, from the time we got married, a few things that were off. And at first it wasn't really the sexuality thing. It seemed to be some of the things that go along with a heterosexual man and his chivalry and the other ways that I've seen men, how they care for women or treat women, that they care about, or they have this kind of, I don't want to, and I'm not trying to sound sexist, but kind of a more protective feeling towards a woman that they love, such as,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's raining outside. Did you take your umbrella? When you get your destination, will you call me to let me know you got there okay? These types of
mm-hmm.
things were completely absent, just absent from our relationship. And I would bring them up saying, I just had never been treated like that. All the men I'd ever dated would always, you know, make sure you're okay. You know, some of the, it was just completely absent. I mean, looking back now, I realized that he was a narcissist, a raging narcissist. And he honestly didn't care whether I lived or died. He didn't care whether I made it to my destination or not. He really didn't care. And I didn't know what that was, though, in the time that it was happening. So we were together for almost 17 years. We were married for 15. And year number two of the marriage, so I stayed with him for 13 years in a very confused state. But on year number two of the marriage, he just was not interested in having sex at all. And it didn't matter what I did, what I looked like, how I treated him. It was irrelevant what clothing I wore. I could be standing there stark naked. He wouldn't even turn his head. All of this was, you know, irrelevant. And
Susan, let me ask you this. How old were you when you married
sure.
him?
Sure. I was in my 30s, and he was in his late 20s, and so I was a little bit older than he was,
mm-hmm.
and which, of course, again, a man in his late 20s should have been very much into sex, right? It wasn't as though I married
mm-hmm.
an older man who had lost some of his sex drive. He should have been, you know, pretty much at his sexual peak at that in that period of time.
Correct.
And so, or, you know, or right over that little hump, and maybe they're in their peak in their early 20s, I don't know, but it was odd, and I knew that it wasn't right. I knew flat out that it wasn't right. And again, in retrospect, looking back, there were some things that maybe were a little odd, but they didn't seem odd in the moment. I'll give you an example. So before I got married, I had a group of people from my job that threw me this really big bridal shower. And I came home with all sorts of stuff. And I was showing Matt all, because we lived together for a few months before we got married. And so I came home and I was showing Matt all of these things. And they showed him all of the lingerie that I got. And there was some pretty sexy stuff in there. Now, I'm not trying to make a generalization, but I know that most heterosexual men actually do really like women's lingerie. It doesn't stay on for very long, but they like it. You know, they're attracted to that. And his comment to me was, I'm not into any of that. It doesn't do anything for me. So if you want to return it all, you can get yourself something more practical. And I thought to myself, well, I'm not really into wearing it. It's not comfortable, right? I mean, I don't know a woman who says, oh, I love wearing it. It's just, oh, man, you know, I feel so good at it and what have you. So it's like, well, this is a good thing, right? This is a good thing. Well, you know, looking back on it now, you just go, oh, my gosh. You know, of course he didn't care about that. He didn't care about it at all. You know, he didn't care about it at all. And the other thing, and by the way, these are the only two, if you want to call them red flags, I call them pink flags because they weren't really red, but they were things that I, looking back now, I maybe should have paid a little more attention to. But in talking to him before I got married, I had asked him the last time he had had a girlfriend when we were dating. And he said that it had been 7 years. Keep in mind, this is a man in his 20s. It had been 7 years since he had a girlfriend. And I said, 7 years, that's a really long time, you know, for a man of your age. Why haven't you had a girlfriend? He said, well, I just don't like women my own age. I think they're immature and they're high maintenance. And he gave me a list of, you know, litany of reasons. And I thought, well, that makes sense because I'm a little bit older than he is, right? He said, I just want a woman that was a little bit more mature. And, you know, that's why I'm dating you. Or that's, you know, you were engaged at the time. That's why I'm engaged to you. Well, that made sense, right? No, he didn't have a girlfriend because he didn't want a girl.
Exactly.
And I didn't ask him if he was with men. I'm sure he was with men. So probably he was telling a sort of truth in the moment to me.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, I thought, oh, okay, well, that makes sense then. I probably should have asked him how many women he had slept with or how many women he had even gone out to dinner with. I didn't ask him that question. I asked him how many girlfriends he had had, and he said none. So anyway, so again, fast forward the marriage, the whole bit, big wedding, the whole bit. On year number two, he just had no interest. And keep in mind, in those first 2 years, it wasn't like there was a lot of sex. But we did have sex. It was fairly regular. It wasn't that great. But I thought to myself, nobody gets it all. And he seems to be a reliable, responsible individual. And because I had two kids in my prior marriage, he got along very well with them, and they liked him a lot. And he was always cooperative to do the family things. And it seemed to, I just thought he was a really great guy. You just don't get it all. So maybe it won't set the world on fire. I was so far off the mark. I can't even tell you. So from year number two,
can I ask you a question, Susan? Were you sexually attracted to him?
I was. Mm-hmm. I thought he was really cute. And here's one thing. And I don't know that if this is the same with a lot of other women that found themselves attracted to their husband, but I'm attracted to men that have really good grooming. They have very impeccable grooming. And I realize that with a lot of gay men, that's a gay thing. And it's not that it's not a heterosexual thing, but it's, you know, a lot of gay men they do take very good care of themselves. I mean, you know, nails were trimmed and nothing dirty and always his hair always looked great and he always smelled good and everything was just so. And I was really attracted to that. I really was attracted to that. So I was, but it wasn't that passionate, you know, you got
burning fire.
At any point, you know, burning fire, you know, I can't wait to rip your clothes off type of thing. And I had experienced that with men prior, so I knew that was out there, that this was different with him. It wasn't that passion, but yet I was attracted to him. If that makes sense at all?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So,
how about, was
yeah.
he affectionate
so,
at all to you? Was
what's
he affectionate
that?
At all?
Was he
affectionate?
No. No, he was not. He was not. And I really thought, well, he's just not an affectionate guy. I mean, it's not that I was trying to make an excuse for him. I just thought he wasn't an affectionate guy. I would watch, you know, other men hold their wife's hands or put their arms around them. We even had discussions over the years about affection. A couple of those discussions were, you know, standing up at the kitchen sink, maybe doing dishes. I mean, my friends that are married with their heterosexual husbands, the husband might come up behind her and put his arms around her from behind and maybe kiss her cheek or kiss her neck. Thank you so much, honey, for the wonderful dinner. That's just an example. That would have never happened. Never, ever. That would not have happened. We even had a discussion. We had a discussion probably a couple years before he left. I would say, Matt, I think other couples kiss each other goodbye in the morning when they go to work. Can we do that? Can we just kiss each other goodbye in the morning? Is that okay? I actually had to ask him to do this. And he said, okay. And then he said, sure, okay, but, you know, let's bring on the grandpa kiss, because it was this little, you know, cursory little peck thing. It wasn't a kiss. It was just this little teensy little thing, the same way I might have kissed my father goodbye.
Right.
That was it. And he did it only out of obligation because I asked him to. So, no, there was not that affection. And I really missed it. And so we had multiple discussions about that over the years, about affection. And he would just say, well, I'm just not affectionate. I'm sorry. My family wasn't very affectionate. And guess what? That was true. His family was not affectionate whatsoever. I didn't see affection between his parents at all, between the parents and the kids. And so I thought, well, that's just the way he was raised. And again, you know, the talk in my own head, you don't get it all. So I'm missing out on that, but I get a guy that comes home every day, and I guess he loves me. I mean, you know, I would say, I love you. He'd say, love you too. He never once said, I love you first. He always just, you know, would reply back to me. So not a lot of affection. So the sex just was non-existent. And so on year number two to year number 15 when he left, so for 13 years, probably about four times a year, we would have what I call the discussion. And sometimes the discussion was just a mild-mannered discussion about his sexuality or why aren't we having sex? Is there anything I can do? And that it could be that mild-mannered down to knockdown, drag-out fight and everything else in between. I didn't know what was going on, but there was something going on. And it would be the same discussion pretty much every single time. I would say, Matt, why are we not having sex? And his answer to me would be, I don't know. And I'd say, well, of course you know. Of course you know. What is it? Is it the way I look? Oh, no. Oh, no, you look great. Is it the way I smell? Is it this? Is it that? I'd go through the whole list because for a lack of an answer, we as human beings tend to fill in those spaces ourselves. And unfortunately, probably the default for most people is blaming themselves. And I think that's a classic standard straight wife scenario, is that we blame ourselves, thinking we're not this enough or that enough, thin enough or this. And I mean, I was a long distance runner and I was a gym rat and I looked good. And I'm not an egotistical person, but back then I looked really good. And I had men hitting on me every single day, but not for one minute could I turn his head. It didn't matter what I had on. I could have on a knit dress and be owning that knit dress and a beautiful pair of heels. And other people would make comments. He would not say a word or even turn his head. And it was very defeating, Bonnie. I can't tell you how defeating it was. Because when
and I don't just like to say to people who have never met you, Susan, that you're excused. Just physically looking, even now, these many years later, you are beautiful. And whenever I've been with you, men are always looking. So for a husband not to want to look at you is really very, you know, not only alarming, but of course we're naive. We don't understand gay. We really don't. And I think that's the problem. No. We'll blame everything else for what it is because we can never imagine that a gay man would marry us. Would you agree with that?
Well, it wouldn't have occurred to me in a million years. It just did not occur to me. Even as many discussions that we had over those years, it was really only in the last year before he left that I finally was connecting the dots and went. And there was an incident several months before he left where he was being sort of trailed by a gay man. We were out of town on a little kind of long weekend vacation. And there was a gay man in a store that was obviously trailing him through the store. And it was just really obvious what was going on. And we came out of the store at different times, and this gay man stood outside of the store, and he was waiting for him. And it didn't occur to him that he was with a woman because we kind of went into the shop, and it was a large shop, and we were separated. I went and looked at some things, and he went and looked at some things. So this man stood across the store, watched this play out, of this man following him around the store, and the man came out of the store, and he stood there waiting for my husband to come out. And I watched this whole thing take place where their eyes locked, and there was this, I don't know what you call it. I don't know if there's a name for it, but there was this connection between the two of them, and it was like this little electric zing. I can't explain it, Bonnie, but I went, there was something there that just happened. There was something there that just happened. And so then I walked out of the door and I said to my husband, Matt, I said, it's kind of crazy that gay man calling the store. And he says to me, what man? I go, and the man is calling was had to be at least like 6 o'clock. I mean, he wasn't a man that anybody would have not noticed in the shop. And there was only two other people in the shop. So, you know, give me a break, right? And what man are you talking about? I said, the man that when you walked out, you connected eyes with him outside the store. He said, oh, that man. You're crazy. You know, let the gaslighting begin. You're crazy. That was nothing. How would you even think he was gay? Well, it was really obvious that man was gay. And, of course, he was out doing whatever he do or whatever gay men do, and probably there was a connection there, and he probably was, who knows what they were doing, right? They were doing what gay men would do. And there was a half-hour drive home in the car that day from that trip. We got in the car right after that incident happened. Alan was silent in the car for 5.5 hours. And it was the first time, and this is probably 3 months before Matt left, so I sat and stared out the window in this car and drive home and went, this has been it the whole time. This is it.
I'm kind of losing you a little.
Are you? I'm sorry, can you hear me
you
now?
Now I hear you. Great.
Yeah,
thank
sorry.
You.
Okay, good. And I said, for the first, in myself, I didn't say a word to him in the car, but I thought to myself, it was the first time I realized what was really going on. He's a gay man. He's a gay man. And he married me. And that's why all these years he could never answer the questions that occurred in these discussions or arguments, because I would say, are you gay? He'd say no. Were you abused as a child? No. Are you just not interested in sex at all? Oh, no, I'm interested in sex. So why are you not interested in sex with me? I don't know. Is it that you're not attracted to women? No, I'm attracted to women. I said, if there's something wrong with me, oh, no, I think you're very pretty. Well, then what's the problem, Matt? I don't know. And it was just this repeated thing over and over and over again so much that I should have just recorded one of the conversations and pressed play every 3 months and rolled it out again. Mm-hmm. But that's when the light bulb went off for me that this is what's been going on the entire time. But he would never confess it. He didn't want to talk about it. The closest I got to any sort of admittance on his part was basically our marriage broke up. We got in a really big fight about the sexuality thing, and it was the very first time in that 13-year span where we had these discussions where I was livid, and I was let's just say it wasn't my finest moment, but I deserved to not have an unfine moment, and that having put up with this for so long and the gaslighting and the lying about where he was and this and that. But I told him, I said, you know what your sexuality is. You know what it is, and you're not willing to talk to me about it. But I will guarantee you, if it takes till the day I die, I will find out. I promise you, I will find out. And 2 days later, and of course I thought that was just a fight like any other one, right? 2 days later, he woke me up in the morning. He said he wanted to talk to me about something, and he had a bag at his feet. And he said, I just wanted to let you know that when I go to work today, I won't be coming home. I want a divorce, and we're not going to discuss it. And when I asked him, it was shocking to me. What? I said, why? And he said, it was really ridiculous, Bonnie. He said, you're not supportive enough of my running, and you don't like motorsports. Those were his words, to be exact. I went, what? Well, I had been a runner myself, so of course it was all crap. It was all bullshit. He was just trying to find some reason. The bottom line is, he knew he was going to be outed. He knew it. He knew I meant what I said, and that at some point I was going to find out exactly. Well, I did find websites he was on. Several different websites. One of them was a website that where they sell all the paraphernalia that men used to have, uh-huh. gay men used to have sex with each other. That's uh-huh. pretty eye-opening. I'm sure you've seen it.
Right.
I had never seen it before. Holy cow. Holy cow. What human beings will do with each other is all I can say. I just looked and scrolled on this website, and I went, oh, my gosh. Another website he was on. I don't. Can I use any what would be considered normally improper language here, Bonnie?
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
Okay, so it was the site. I'll just say what it is. It was the site was called Fuckboy, and it was. I was astonished. It was a website of just one sexual act after another, with boys. I would say around the age of 16, 17 years old. Three boys together, four boys together, two boys together. I can't even describe it to you. And I was horrified. And I thought, well, for God's sake, no wonder he didn't want to have sex with his middle-aged wife. But by that point in time, right? Now I was 50. No wonder he didn't want to have sex with, well, he never wanted to have sex with me, really. I mean, other than the first 2 years. If you're attracted to a 17-year-old boy, you're not going to want a 45-year-old woman, no matter what she looks like.
Exactly.
She could be a model. It wouldn't matter. He wants a 17-year-old boy. And all these boys on this website were clean shaven down to only the hair left on their head, which was exactly how Matt was clean shaven. And he used the excuse that he was a cyclist and a runner, and it just made him a better athlete if he was clean shaven. Oh, my gosh. So it was just horrible. What I was going to say a couple of moments ago is he would not tell me the reality of why he was leaving the marriage. He would not tell me. And he came back one time for us to have a discussion. I mean, when he was gone, he was gone. And I would go through, are you leaving for this reason? Or are you leaving for that reason? And I finally said to him, Matt, is it because of all the fights we had about sex? And his answer to me was, you had reason. That's as close as I got to him admitting to me there was something going on. That was it. That was it. And then, so, you know, that's when I almost immediately went online. I found you. I ordered your book and learned so much about my own situation that completely made sense of just this not knowing what's going on, but the dots not connecting. He said he would be somewhere in the, you know, that day at work, but then he'd come home and he would say he would be somewhere else. I say, no, that's not what you said. And I thought at one point in time, I remember talking to my sister saying, do you ever wish that you would have a recorder every time you spoke to your husband so you record what they say? Because when they come home, they say something completely different. She said, well, sometimes men forget that you've said something to them. But no, I said, there's something wrong. I even had discussions with Matt. I would say, is there something cognitively wrong with you? And he would say, what do you mean? Well, there's such a difference between what you say in one moment and what the next, you contradict yourself all the time. The bottom line is when you're living the life of a lie, you can't remember all your lies, no matter how smart you think you are or how good you think you are at lying. The brain can't remember lies. The brain remembers truth. But the brain can't remember all the lies. So it was continually catching him in lies. And it was gaslighting for years and years and years. And that's another thing that I learned through you and through your website and through your books and all the other things is I learned about gaslighting. I had heard the term gaslighting before, but I didn't know what it was. I did not know what it was. When I started reading what it was, I went, oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh, that's what I was living in all of those years. There's actually a name for that.
Right, and can you tell people what that means? Because some people are living it, but they don't know about it. They can't define it.
Yeah.
You can tell them.
Well, gaslighting is a combination of things, but basically it is a man, and again, I'm just speaking on this specific situation. People gaslight each other for various reasons. It's not always about these mixed marriages and straight wives. It happens with lesbian women married to straight men. It happens just in a lot of relationships, I think, with narcissists in general. But it's just really a way of trying to protect themselves and not getting caught when they've screwed up. So if he were to say he was in sales and I'm in sales, so where I would say, honey, where are you going today? Well, I'm going to XYZ City. What are you going to do there? Well, I'm going to see da-da-da-da-da client, and this is what I'm going to do. So when he'd come home at the end of the day, and they'd say, well, how did it go today in such and such a city? Oh, I wasn't there today. I was over here today. Oh, no, that's not what you told me this morning. You told me, and so he'd say, you're crazy. No, I'm not crazy.
Right.
I can tell you where you were standing in the kitchen when you said that. I can tell you what you had on and the bagel you had in your hand. I can tell you had your keys in the other hand. You were heading out the door. I'm not crazy. I remember it vividly. And, of course, no, you're crazy. So you hear you're crazy, you're stupid, your mind's not working, you must have been distracted, your hearing must be bad. I got that. Your hearing must be bad. No, it's not. My hearing's great. I got it all. I heard it all because he was essentially getting busted because he was lying to me about where he was going to be. And I know I know for a fact he had several men out there that he was seeing. So where he would try to say, I'm going to be here for work and this is what I'm doing, that's not what his plans were for the day at all. He was going to be in a different area, probably having sex in the afternoon with a man. with a, you know, he met a couple of these men through what he does. He's basically a sales engineer, and most of his clients are men. And I'm sure, not I'm sure, I'm positive he met a few of them. One of them, I'm sure he had a probably about a 2-year long affair with now when I look back and put the pieces together. So gaslighting is just a way of confusing women so they're not sure what's going on. They might still know there's something going on, but they don't know what, so they can't put their finger on it. And that's one of the things that I immediately caught on in your books. I think you had like 2 or 3 of them, Straight Wives, Shattered Lives, of the women who had gone through the gaslighting, of knowing in their gut there's something really deeply, seriously wrong, but couldn't put their finger on it. And it was more than just, he's not having sex with me. It was that he was living a lie, not just in his admittance of his sexuality to you, but where he was, what they're doing, all of that, all of that. You're just living, you're living in a surreal situation where it's not real life anymore. And you're, and we're women. Our gut tells us, most of us have that gut feeling. Again, we might not be able to identify what it actually means. We're not getting a photograph of it, but we know there's one out there. We just don't know. And I took such solace, not solace in knowing that there were other women out there like that, because I was horrified that any woman would have to feel like I felt for so many years. And I remember, Bonnie, and I'll just be really honest about this. The year before Matt left, I had a discussion with several friends of mine, work friends of mine, where I said to them, how do you know when your life is over? And they said, what? What are you talking about? I said, how do you know that it's time to go? And they had no idea what I was talking about. I said, how do you know that your life as you knew it is over and that you don't have choices anymore? I actually honestly didn't think I had choices. And that you're going to be living in a state of unrest if you don't try to get out of your own life. They had no idea what I was talking about. And really what I was talking about was, I thought the only way out of this confusing, desperate situation where I felt like I felt this impending sense of doom on a daily basis. Again, I didn't know what it was, but I felt this impending sense of doom. I thought the only way out was to possibly kill myself. And I know that sounds it's horrifying to me now when I look back upon this. This is probably now about 10 years ago, but that's how it made me feel. I felt like I was trapped in this situation that I didn't know what it was. It was a very weird psychological state to be in, but I know I'm not alone in those feelings, just from the all the women that I've spoken to that have felt the same way, where they just didn't feel any way, they didn't feel any way out of it because they didn't know what they were dealing with. You can, most of
I was just going to say that, you know, when I was living through that life, I would tell you that I felt either homicidal or suicidal. You know, I really didn't feel there was a way out because I lived with somebody who was very volatile, who threatened if I ever wanted to leave, he's going to take the children and run. So I used to feel, you know, very scared, isolated, alone, crazy, because he'd do the same thing. You know, I call it gaslighting. They call it gaslighting, you know, making up all kinds of stories. And when somebody lives a lie every day of their life, they can't keep track of every lie. So that's where the gaslighting comes in, or what I call gaslighting, that, you know, you're they confuse you so much and blame you for everything. But I'm just really curious, with your husband, did he travel a lot, first of all? I was going to ask you that.
Yeah, he was in sales.
Okay.
So he would be gone for 2 or 3 days at a time. He'd be gone for a week. But every single day, he didn't go to an office every day. His office was in our home. My office is in our home. So it'd be typical of us to say, where are you going today to visit your clients? Well, where are you going to visit your clients? And we would have this discussion about where we were going to be, where we were going to pass each other on the freeway, you know, that kind of thing. And so he had nothing but freedom to go do whatever he wanted to do. And I shudder at the thought at what he was doing the entire time. And, you know, so many women, they would love to have go back and have a film, right, of everything their husband did. And even though I say to myself, I would like to know, we don't really want to know that because it's so excruciatingly painful to even think about it. I know one man,
he
absolutely had an affair with for several years, and it was all because of his work. He wasn't held accountable. He didn't have to be in an office. He could go wherever he wanted to and do whatever he wanted to do all day. And so, like I say, the good Lord only knows where he was.
Well, I think the first thing we have to let women know is that if you're looking for signs and if you're looking for symptoms and you're looking for clues, I always say men want sex. And if they're not having it with you, then they're having it with somebody else. Because men just are sexual animals. I mean, we may not realize while we're going through this whole situation because we're self-blaming ourselves for their lack of interest in us. But, you know, the reality is that's your first key to every woman. If you're with a straight man, he's going to want sex with you. And if he doesn't want sex with you, then he has a problem, not you, right?
Right. Well, I mean, absolutely. But, you know, again, our default is not to think that. Our default is to think there's something wrong with me. And so these men, when they finally decide to make their exit, whether they come out and go live a gay life, or they separate because they don't want fights anymore, or they don't want, you know what I mean? Because, I mean, I know that's a situation. In my case, or even if the marriage stays together, the woman is shattered. I mean, she's just shattered because she's been living now for many years in a situation where she has felt unloved, unattractive. We were together for almost 17 years, and not one single time, not once, did he ever look at me and say, "You look good today. You're beautiful. I think you look pretty." Nothing, not one single time. And it sounds very, very superficial, but women want this from their husbands. They want this from their mates. Men want it from their wives or their mates. It's a normal human thing to just want to know that my husband wants me. And he didn't. And he never said that. So I thought for so many years, there's something wrong with me. So I couldn't run enough. I couldn't modify my diet enough. I couldn't be thin enough or have the right. There was nothing I could have done enough to try to make that happen. But yet I thought that that's what I was supposed to do. And so at the end of the day, it's years and years spent beating yourself up, exhausted, hurting your body or whatever it is any woman has done to try to make herself look a certain way or act a certain way. And it's all for nothing. It's just really, really defeating. And, you know, now I know what it is, and I don't blame myself at all. I was in the wrong place even though I thought it was very romantic that I met him out of town and we were in the same place and we were from the same city, meant to meet. No, I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. I got sideswiped, and it's not my fault. It just happened, and he victimized me, and I'm not a victim, but I was victimized. I learned as much about the entire scenario. I've been to obviously several of your healing weekends, and I've had a lot of counseling. I've read a lot of books. I've talked to a lot of women. I've done a lot to try to work through this whole process, but it's a process. It doesn't happen overnight at all. And, you know, a lot of women they just don't want to wake up the next morning. I prayed to God many nights, Bonnie, for me not, please, God, don't have me wake up in the morning. The pain was so great for me and trying to come to grips with this. It was so painful. So painful.
And I think that's what I get. I get most angry about that, Susan. It's not that they're gay. I mean, okay, they have no choice in their homosexuality. But they do have a choice on how they use it with us. If they made the mistake and they were trying to fight who they were because they didn't want to be gay, I can even accept that. But what I can't accept is once you start acting on it, then you have to be honest and tell your wife the truth. You can't come home and be abusing her because you're not happy being married to her, but you want her to protect you. That's what really bothers me. Do you feel the same way?
Well, absolutely. And, you know, I don't think it happens in a vacuum that a disproportionate number of these gay husbands are narcissists. because, yes, you have a small percentage of men who knew what they were, but maybe they're, you know, their religion doesn't allow them to be out. You know, my ex-husband was raised in a Southern Baptist family. Southern
right.
Baptists really aren't exactly into gay people, and yay, let's all come out and in gay pride. This is not exactly a Southern Baptist thing. And I know, you know, Mormon women who were married to Mormon men that, you know, they weren't allowed to be gay there either. So whether it's a religious thing, and, you know, one of the things that I learned from you that I didn't understand either is we just think today, and I live in California, right? So, oh, anything goes in California. So anybody who's gay can just come out. That's just not the truth. The bulk of gay men are not out, and they're never going to come out, and they're still going to marry women, and they're still going to have kids, and this scenario is going to perpetuate itself forever. Because, and again, this is the thing I learned from you, that these gay men, it's not even a matter of coming out. They don't want to be gay, and they hate themselves. They don't want to be gay, but they are gay. They don't want to have attraction to men, but they have it. And so...
Right.
They don't want to come out, even if their family says, sure, come out. Their employers say, sure, come out. Their city, their friends, even if everything that surrounds them says, sure, you can come out. We'll love you just the same. They don't want to come out because they think it's despicable and they hate themselves.
Uh-huh.
And let's think about how anybody treats another person if they hate themselves. So is it surprising that a lot of these men treat us poorly? No. They hate themselves, and they just take the hate out on their straight wives. I think it
I think they blame us too, Susan, for their unhappiness. You know, rather than look inside, they just look outside, and we're the ones who are there, you know, they say, my ex-husband used to always say he felt trapped, you know, that I was trapping
him. Absolutely.
Did yours ever say that?
You know what? And well, he didn't know. Well, no, because he never admitted he was gay. So he didn't. He never said that he felt trapped. But let's think about it. If you feel like you've been forced to marry, or that was the societal expectation, or for whatever reason, or it was your way to hide in a straight marriage where you could hide and go do your thing on the side with men, or whatever. Whenever you look at your wife, instead of looking at her with love or adoration or admiration or respect or pride or, you know, warm fuzzy, if you look at her as the poster child of having to live a lie, you're not going to like her very much. She's just the representation of the lie that you have to live. And so many of these men, when they, you know, they do leave and they do come out, they will say, you know, the wives are devastated and they feel like they're justified in coming out. And of course, society hails them and throws parades for them and thinks, oh, this is so wonderful, you came out. And the wives are, you know, basically tossed under the bus in the process. And when the wife just tries to have a discussion with the husband of, do you know what you've done to me? He'll say to her, do you know what I had to live in all these years?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're supposed to pity me. You know, you're supposed to pity me. Do you know what the life I had to live? Do you know what it was like to have to live with you and fake it with you and try to love you and force to have sex with you as though that's going to make the woman feel any better? But they feel completely
exactly.
justified in their behavior. They blame society for having going into the marriage, and then to get out of the marriage in order to not feel guilt, they are going to completely pick the wife apart with any flaw that they can think of to justify them leaving the marriage. Even if they come out, they're going to find a way. She was to this, she was to that. They actually demonize their wives. And so these wives already are on the ground, right? Just destroyed and on the ground. He then turns around and annihilates her to the outside world to add insult to injury. I mean, is there any wonder that it takes straight wives years and years and years just to put one foot in front of another? And, I mean, it floors me, their behavior. What I was going to say before is, though, if you want to hide who you are, you have to be somewhat narcissistic to hijack somebody else's life to hide yourself. You have to be narcissistic to not care about another person, to be honest with them. And you know you're living a lie. They don't. You do. But there has to be an element of narcissism in that, in my opinion. This is just my opinion. It's not a professional thing. It's just a personal opinion of mine to say, I don't like who I am, or I don't think I can live who I truly am supposed to be. So I'm just going to basically fraudulently, you know, haul this woman, hook this woman in, and I'm just going to pretend with her, to not care about another human being, to force them to live your lie, or like you say, in their closet. You have to be a narcissist, right? Or at least have
absolutely
a lot of tendencies in that direction. You have to be.
Well, some are narcissists and some are beyond narcissism. Some of them are, you know, also a combination of narcissism and sociopathy, psychopathy,
oh,
you know,
sure,
depending on where they are. But there's something definitely very, you know, wrong when you have to live a lie every day of your life. And these men can really
yeah
compartmentalize. You know, they're able to live their life with you, and they're able to live a separate life with another guy or lovers or whatever the case is.
Oh,
we
sure
have seen every single
right
combination. But let me ask you this question, Susan. At any point in your marriage, did you talk to him about going for marriage counseling?
I did. A couple of things happened. Well, he refused counseling. He said that marriage counseling was for losers, and marriage
uh-huh
counseling were for people whose marriages were already over. That's what he told me.
Uh-huh.
About the whole sex thing, I was able to drag him to the doctor to have his testosterone tested, because I said, well, can we just have your testosterone tested, because maybe there's something wrong with your sex drive. So he actually
uh-huh
did that, but he told me later in a fight that we got into about, again, one of the discussions about sexuality, the only reason why he went to the doctor is because he was an athlete. Not by profession,
uh-huh,
but, you know, by hobby. He was an athlete, and he thought if he could be given some extra testosterone, it would make him a better athlete. He didn't do that for me at all, and it had nothing to do with the sex drive, because he knew his sex drive had nothing to do with testosterone and everything to do with the fact that I was a woman and I was not a man.
Uh-huh.
So, no. But I asked him, can we go to sex therapy? No. He goes, I don't think there's anything wrong. Well, there's obviously something wrong. There's something very
uh-huh
big that's wrong. Aren't you upset about this? And he said, no, not really. Well, that's because he's still getting sex. He's getting a lot of sex,
exactly,
probably just not with me. So he's totally
well
content.
The good news is, like I tell, yeah, but I tell women, the good news is that you're not having sex with your, you know, who you're with. You're better off, because so many of our women have ended up getting sexually transmitted diseases, anywhere from AIDS to chlamydia to
yes
nine different things, herpes, so many life
oh
changing,
sure,
altering signs for just to have sex out of their desperation to feel
right
like they're wanted. So I think in many ways, not
yeah
having sex really is better, don't you?
Well, I mean, absolutely, I do. Although I would say probably for the average woman, the fact their husband's not having sex would be a bigger red flag, and that might encourage them to get out of the marriage sooner rather than later, because the longer
uh-huh
one stays in this marriage, the more harm it's
uh-huh
going to do to her. It's a really, I think, what is the right word I'm looking for, Bonnie? Not a progressive thing, but where you just pile more hurt on top of hurt, the longer you
yeah
stay in
you know
the marriage,
it's deteriorating to you. And
it, yeah, deteriorating to you. It chips away at you. It chips away more and more and more of you on a daily basis. And I mean, these women that have been married for 40 years and then the bulk of their life is gone. This man took the bulk of her life. I mean, it's really, really horrifying. And so I don't
uh-huh
know. I don't know the real answer to that, but I do know that I am very lucky that I came out of it physically unscathed as far as any sexually
uh-huh
transmitted disease that I was tested for everything. As soon as I talked to my doctor about what was going on, she said, oh, okay. She said, if you knew how often I heard this, I said, about being
uh-huh
with a gay husband. She said, well, I do hear
uh-huh
that, but just women who are with men who have affairs. She said, we need to test you for everything. And I said, well, go for it, right? So I was tested for everything. And so fortunately, so blessed that I came out of that unscathed, because a lot
uh-huh
of women are not, like you say, their lives are threatened, or they just have to worry about these diseases for the rest of their lives. And it's sort of like the gift that keeps on giving. Am I saying that very tongue-in-cheek? Horrifying. It's really horrible. It's really,
uh-huh
really horrible that these men would subject their wives to that. And they do it so they, you know, have enough sex where she doesn't suspect anything. I think a lot of men are like that. But, you know, looking back on it, the times we did have sex, and we actually went a 2.5-year period of time with no sex whatsoever. And this happened
uh-huh
when my husband was 29 years old. not normal.
Unbelievable. No, not at all.
Unbelievable is what it is. Unbelievable. Absolutely. It's
I wanted to ask you one more question, Susan. Susan, did you mm-hmm. ever suspect that he might be having an affair with a woman?
I mean, during that whole marriage, no.
Mm-hmm.
No. The one thing I noticed about him during the time we were married is that women would never turn in his head. It wasn't just me. It was all women. I mean, if we were in a restaurant and a beautiful woman walks in the door, I would be more likely to turn and look at the beautiful woman. And I'm not remotely lesbian, but I would turn and look just because it was a pretty woman. He would never turn his head. I've shared one time right after we got Comcast. So this is years ago. And we had 9,000 channels. And they give you this, like, free for a week. You can look at any channel and then decide what package you want. And I was standing in the kitchen. And so his back was to me sitting on the couch. So picture a big, great room. And I'm standing in the kitchen. He's sitting on the couch with his back to me. He's got the remote in his hand going through the TV, channel after channel after channel. And he gets to what I believe was, like, the Playboy channel or something close to that. And there were two women kind of going at it with each other. I mean, I would have stopped and said, what is that? Oh, my gosh. He just kept on going like it was nothing. And I stood there and went, that is not normal. That is not normal. This is just not normal. So, you know, it did not occur to me that he was having an affair with a woman. That it did not. I took it all as personal rejection, confusion, and something bigger going on. I just honestly thought there was something really big on his side, but I didn't know that it was gay. And I don't know what else it could have been, but I just thought there was something really, really big that he was hiding.
Have you ever heard anything about what happened to him after? Have you heard anything about where he is in life now?
He got married again to a woman. He got married again to a woman.
Unbelievable, right?
And unbelievable. And I think I've even reached out to you to say, I really want her to know because her life will be destroyed. I mean, her life will be destroyed. And you just said, well, I'll send her a book. You know, at least you can you can put in her brain, she might think I'm crazy, but, you know, at least you've had, I don't know, how do you phrase it, Bonnie? At least you put the phone in your head so when things are happening in her world.
Yeah,
yeah,
I mean,
you've been warned.
You've been warned. And at least, you know, I always say it's better to let somebody know because we have gone through so much in our journeys. And for so many years, it takes so long to recover from this if you ever recover totally. But I wouldn't want somebody else to have to go through it. And even if they think I'm trying to get back at him or I'm crazy or whatever, she's going to know the same thing that I know. And hopefully it won't take her so long to get out like it took, you know, took you and so many of our other women to stay for 25, 30 years. And just give up their lives to these guys. So I feel, you know, let them
absolutely.
Know. Absolutely. But, you know, look, how many people are with gay men that people don't talk about it? They wouldn't even know where to start.
Well, but very true. And, you know, my own sister told me, and I love her to death, and I don't blame her a bit because she did not know what to do. She said, well, my husband and I knew that he was gay before you married him. I said, what? She said, we knew he was gay. I go, what do you mean you knew? She said, we watched him and we watched him and we watched him. But you seemed to be so happy thinking you had found the guy that we didn't want to destroy your happiness. We didn't know what to do. And I said, you actually said this? She said, we had a full-on conversation about it before you married him, whether we should tell you or not. But we didn't want to ruin your happiness. So obviously they had observed something in him that I did. And I said, well, I'm not going to blame you because you made the best decision at the time. I mean, now I can tell you that I would have liked to have known. And people say, oh, I don't think any woman would want to know that. Well, I beg to differ. Having gone through this, I absolutely wish I would have known. Again, it's not my sister's fault or anybody else's fault. It lies with one person and one person only, and that's my ex-husband who decided to lie and you know, pull me into a fraudulent life. That's the only person that can be blamed in this situation. Just one.
Well, Susan, we're coming to an end of our time, and I hate to pressure you on this one, but I would love if you could come back in a few weeks so we can continue this because there's so many more things to say about it. You know, we didn't even really get into all the emotional impact and recovery and everything, so if that would be possible for you in 2 weeks to come back, perhaps.
Yeah, absolutely. I would love to do that. Yeah.
Okay.
You bet, because
I won't be here.
I'm the queen of recovery, or at least attempted recovery. I am.
I know, and I want you to go ahead and help some women with the emotional impact this has on you, so they shouldn't think that something's wrong with them. So I will be away Sunday.
Absolutely.
But the following Sunday, if you're free, if not shortly thereafter, whenever you can, it would be wonderful to have you back.
I'm more than happy to come back. If life has taught me anything, any bad experience we have in any level with anything, the only thing we can do is try to help other people with it. And I've spent a lot of time in them. Whatever I can do to help anybody, I am willing to do. Absolutely willing to do.
And if you need that kind of help when you're listening, no matter when it is, because a lot of people don't listen to the show right when we're airing it. They listen to it throughout the week, throughout the month.
Yeah.
Please write to me and say, you know, I need help. Get me in touch with Susan. And I'll be happy to do that and give her your information. So, Susan, thank you so much for such a great show. Don't worry, you will be.
I love you to death.
I love you too, sweetie. And to all of our listeners, have a wonderful week and a happy year ahead of you. This is 2020. It's going to be a better year. I really believe that in my own head. So, good night to everybody. Susan, I love you.
Love you too.
All right. Good night,
everybody. Bye-bye.